discussing Russian music with host Mark Humphrey.
Don't forget to set up your alarm. Roots Music and Beyond is on Saturday morning, 6 to 8.
See you then.
Hi, this is Robbie Krieger from The Doors, and you are listening to Fiercely Independent KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and for the world at www.kpfk.org. Support free speech and freeform radio. Peace.
This is Michael Jackson. Ricky, I really love what you and Reverend Michael Beckwith has done in creating the sound of Agape with your beautiful music. God bless you.
Peace and richest blessings to you. This is Michael Bernard Beckwith, the founder and spiritual director of the Agape International Spiritual Center, and the author of Spiritual Liberation, Life Visioning, Fulfilling Your Soul's Potential, and 40-Day Mind Fast Soul Feast. You're entering now into the vibration of Wake Up, the Sound of Transformation, a weekly program that invites you to discover not only who and what you really are, but to embrace the evolutionary impulse that governs all creation, that you may live up to your true potential, that you may anchor the realm of ever-expanding good, the realm of excellence on earth as it is in the mind of the infinite. Today, you're listening with the ear beyond the ear, that you can begin to catch that there's something magnificent about you and that your life is an on-purpose with a purpose. Week after week, we will have powerful guests who have embodied spiritual principles and who are activating their own potential to begin to assist in the birthing of a kind and just global society of which you are to be a soulful participant. Listen with the ear beyond the ear and feel absolutely that there is something so good about you that it must be expressed. You have entered into the vibration of Wake Up, the Sound of Transformation. And that's true. We want you to move into the vibration of paradise, the vibration of excellent health, the vibration of being an instrument through which your soul can unfold to reveal its glorious nature. So it's your time on the planet. Your time as an earthling, your time on planet Earth is a time of you unleashing your gifts, talents, and capacities in a very magnificent and powerful way. When we come back from this brief sound of rhythm and bliss, we will be with Bill Quaitman. And we will be having a powerful conversation about your body temple, about health and wholeness and well-being today. That's all we're talking about. We're just going into that subject in a very powerful way. We'll be right back.
Something's calling me. Something's calling me. Something's calling me. A little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Feel like I'm walking on marbles. Can't steal the earth beneath my feet. Is my head in the clouds, my naked legs left dangling. I can feel my heart begin to pound. everybody said, something's calling me, little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Something's calling me, little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Long dark night, my soul, it wanders. Can't see the light that moves me. If God is everything and everywhere that I belong, Spirit gently wakes me from my sleep. Something's calling me, little bit deeper than I've ever been. Something's calling me, a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Oh Lord, oh Lord, take me deeper than I've ever been before. Calling me, a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Compassion's calling me, a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. My faith keeps calling me, I've ever been before. Peace is calling me, a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. God is calling me, and I'm grateful like I've never been.
That powerful voice is Jamie Lula, great troubadour for peace and inspiration, upliftment and healing. One of our favorite soloists at the Agape International Spiritual Center. Obviously that one is called Something's Calling Me. And something is calling all of us a little bit deeper so that our true nature and our true being can escape and express itself. With Bill Quaitman, health and wellness entrepreneur, Bill Quaitman has been a passionate student of complementary and alternative health and natural medicine since 1978. Since 1986, he has studied with the Northwestern University holistic professor of psychiatry, Dr. Bruce Boyd, and has worked with and learned from some of the most progressive and visionary natural medicine doctors and alternative and complementary physicians, both internationally and in the Los Angeles area, for more than 15 years. As a business developer in the field of orthomolecular medical nutrition testing, he's worked with some of the preeminent doctors and experts in the field, including one of its founders, Dr. Abram Hoffer. He's also written extensively on this topic and its profound life-enhancing benefits, including articles, white papers, blogs, reports, and marketing and web materials, and co-authored the comprehensive guide to orthomolecular nutrition titled Your Personal Life with his company, Advanced BioCell. Bill has developed a comprehensive process for engaging, guiding, educating, and servicing clients in the rapidly growing field of systems-based, personalized, functional medicine at the leading edge of the wellness industry. In addition to his health and well-being work, Bill has worked alongside his daughter, India, and they wrote the highly praised, whimsical, and insightful guidebook for creating a harmonious and loving step family called Daddy-Daughter Dinner Dance, which he published through his new media company entitled Angel Mine. Brother Bill, welcome to Wake Up the Sound of Transformation.
Well, thank you, Reverend Michael. It is indeed a deep pleasure to be here with you.
Outstanding. And today we're kind of dedicating the program to health and well-being. We always speak about spiritual transformation. We speak about inspiration. We speak about becoming more ourselves. But you know what? Without a body temple on earth, all of that's a little difficult.
You can't do that.
Can't do that. It's like if we destroy the planet, we won't be here. If we destroy the body temple, we won't be able to live up to our full potential. So, you know, you've been in this field for a long time, and obviously we've known each other for a number of years. You know, how would you define health right now, and what does that look like for you?
You know, it's really very interesting, Reverend Michael. My conversation with the people that I work with is a mirror image of the conversation you have with everyone, which is to say simply and plainly, health, in my opinion and view and experience, is what I'd say is peace in the midst of chaos.
Peace in the midst of chaos. And this includes the mental body, the emotional body, and the physical body, obviously.
It begins with the mental body. Magic Johnson, one of the great, great forces of all time, was quoted once as saying, it's all a mind game. Referring to basketball, but, you know, as complex as that can be, it's all in your mind.
Absolutely. Now, with your particular background, I know a lot of things that you have access to. What would you say that it takes for us to be healthy today?
Well, you know, I used to say people's opinions are the biggest health problem of all.
I still say that.
You know, but now I think it's really just getting up and living every day is the biggest health problem of all. And the opinion comes after you woke up. Because when you're sleeping, it's a lot easier to let your mind kind of do what it's supposed to do rather than you think you can direct it properly, which is, it's a good talent to have. It takes practice.
Right, right. Because most people are stuck in their opinion, which limits their perception, which, of course, then determines a limited, healthy experience. So we're learning how to bracket. I call it bracketing the opinion. Put the opinion to the side and try to see life for what it is.
Exactly. I always say attitude isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Right. And attitude obviously shapes your character. Mm-hmm. And your character determines your destiny. So we're right in alignment. But you talk about the fact that we live in what is called a toxic soup. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the toxic soup, and how can we maintain a spiritual practice in this toxic soup?
Again, it's the same conversation. The toxic soup, in full complement, is the toxins, the pollutants, the microforms, which are virus, bacteria, mold, fungus, parasites, yeast. On the physical level, they certainly include things like the news, quote-unquote, and other people's opinions of what you should be doing, whether it was from when you were born or last night on the phone. So the toxic tank is really where we live. It's called Earth. It's called your life. And it's a beautiful thing, especially when you wake up. I'm going to use your words today.
Right.
I hope everybody doesn't mind. But when people wake up to that, and then they say, oh, wow, I guess I have work to do. So I need to, what, clean out the garbage and allow what's there to do its job properly, whether it's your blood or the air that you breathe. It's really about cleaning up. You said something once on one of your conversations that I just use all the time, which is you can't add anything to what you do. You have to subtract the stuff that isn't working so that you can grow.
Absolutely. Like spiritual growth is about letting go of something.
Right.
Either there's a filter on our perception that's distorting our perception of reality, or it's some kind of toxicity within the mental body or the emotional body or the physical body that's preventing the pristine nature from shining. So, yeah, all spiritual growth is actually about letting go.
Exactly. And that's the same thing. With Advanced BioCell, I talk to a lot of people from a lot of places about a lot of things, and it's all about healthfulness, and it comes always to the square one, which is let's clean up your inner terrain, because as that happens, your body can do what it's supposed to do for you. And that's really the basic issue. I have a client that I spoke with yesterday, a diligent woman, kind and generous woman, and she takes the green powders and the red powders from good product companies and renowned doctors and the like. And in the meanwhile, she's not feeling that great in any number of ways. And so we started talking about, well, what are you eating? And, oh, well, I don't eat this and I don't eat that, and it doesn't like this in a salad and it doesn't like that in a salad. It's okay. So now what? You got to put some different things in the salad, or the salad's going to be having the same effect on you.
So it's not just about what you're not eating, it's what you are putting in the body temple.
It is. It's what you are putting in there, and it's what you're taking out of putting in there. Mm-hmm. It's the same story every way you look.
Mm-hmm. So we know some indications of toxicity. What are some of the indicators of spiritual and physical wellness? How does an individual know they're on target?
Well, you know, spiritual wellness is pretty basic. One of the things they say is that when you get the hardening of the arteries, it's usually accompanied by hardening of the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So that means inflexibility, clinging to grief, guilt, old hurts, lost sense of purpose, regrets, decreased appreciation of beauty, fear of death and disease. So the way then to notice your spiritual healthfulness would be that, okay, so you're less irritated. Why? Well, because you're doing the basics, which is meditating and then meditating. And then you're meditating. So this is the technology that leads then to peacefulness, making it through difficulties and arguments, not being yoked to the negative stuff like the fear, anger, doubt, worry, all the things we always talk about when we're certainly in your realm. And if we're lucky, we take what you have to say to us and use it on a moment-to-moment basis. So if you're easy to laugh, if you're breathing properly, if you have easy, good enough sleep, if you're flexible in your attitudes, if your anger is not really an issue, which is a main problem that most people have, I think human beings easily get angry as, like, number one line of defense. And so as you see an ease of operation or a peace, again, in the chaos of life, these are signs that you're doing something good for yourself.
Right, right. Easy to laugh, easy to forgive, slow to anger. Oftentimes anger is a masking emotion for fear.
Absolutely.
That underneath an anger, people are afraid of something. As you said earlier, you're afraid.
All the lower realms, like you talk about all the wise guys, all the ancient wisdom teachings, is those lower realms of emotions are, first of all, indicators that there's toxicity in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're able to come to waking up to that and making changes, then you start to clean out and peace descends.
Absolutely. Now, how do you organize your personal health practice?
Same story. It's being conscious and starting with a goal. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say to people, when someone calls me an advanced biocell and they say, okay, I can't go to the bathroom, my hair is falling out, I'm nervous, I can't sleep properly, instead of just throwing supplements at them and protocols and different elements that we can do to help people with that stuff, and we do every day, I always ask someone, what is your health goal? What do you want to happen?
Mm-hmm.
My dear teacher, Dr. Boyd, always used to ask that question. You know, I would come to him with a walking down the street kind of crazy stuff going on in my life and tell him the story. You know, one relationship issue or another, or one thing with the kids or another, and he would listen patiently. And then he would stop and he'd say, well, what do you want to happen? You say that all the time to people. Every time we talk, that always kind of gets in there. So what is your goal? What is your health goal? Do you want to live a lively, joyful, active, healthy life? Or do you want to, you know, live fast and die young? We could help you do whatever you want. It's just like, let's start with, do you even know what you want?
Right. And that's very powerful because, as I've said over the years, that many people are suffering from an intention deficit disorder. They have no intention. They have no goal. They're just kind of reacting to conditions and circumstances throughout the course of their day, becoming reactive rather than responsive. And when you have a goal or an intention or a purpose, you become more responsive and less reactive.
Exactly. Yeah. Most people, unfortunately, it seems, and this was something from, again, my dear teacher, Dr. Boyd, who was, he was in your league. He was a realized master, masquerading as a psychiatrist. He didn't want to have a spiritual community that he led. He didn't want to wear the robes or even the suit. And he didn't want to write a book and do the book tour. So he was happy helping teenagers, which are some of the most troubled people on earth.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, what his particular point of view is. What do you want? And so that's where he always started. And that's the main issue.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in to this special day of really speaking about health and well-being in many ways, I'm talking to Bill Quaidman. He's a health and wellness entrepreneur and a passionate student of complementary and alternative health and natural medicine since 1978. I know the gentleman. He looks good. He radiates magnificent health. And his company is called Advanced BioCell. Complementary process for engaging, guiding, educating, and servicing clients into the rapidly growing field of systems-based personalized functional medicine at the leading edge of the wellness industry. So we're talking health, we're talking attitude, shapes everything. We're talking about not adding to ourselves, but eliminating that which hinders the natural flow of this genius thing that we call the body temple. If we just stay out of its way and keep it cleaned up, it'll repair, recover, rejuvenate in a very powerful and wonderful way. So you see a lot of people on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And what do you see as the main underlying causative factor to individuals' illness?
I see a lack of flexibility. I see a lack of insight, really, more than anything else. I think, again, Dr. Boyd used to say that people crystallize at around the age of 25. They made it through high school, mostly. Mm-hmm. They might have gone to college. They might have become a professional, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, whatever it gets to be. But the rational, reasonable part of their brain and the thinking process thinks that that's the whole show. And so then you get hoodwinked and hijacked by that part of your mental capabilities, and you miss what I have to say is the deepest subtlety of being alive. And this is, again, it's your conversation that just resonates over and over and over. Every time I speak with any of the clients I have, I find myself doing my best impersonation of Reverend Michael Beckwith in so many ways as I listen to what I'm talking about. So, for example, there was a research project which took the research subjects and just showed them a picture of a man and a woman smiling at one another, mm-hmm. looking contented and cooperative with one another. And the researchers at the end of this particular experience, quote unquote, dropped their pen, meaning they dropped their pen on purpose. Mm-hmm. After these research subjects were seeing the image of these two people smiling at each other. And it showed that about 60 to 70% of the research subjects, just from seeing that picture of these two people smiling at each other, were more cooperative, and they reached over to help and pick up the pen for the researcher. The fascinating part about this conversation is the research subjects were 18 months old.
What?
18 months old.
And they would instinctively reach down and try to help the researcher.
By picking up the pen.
Mm-hmm. And so looking at this picture of these people smiling put them in a certain state.
Exactly.
And in that state, they became more compassionate and more helpful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you're really speaking to what if, you know, and I say this frequently, you know, what if every day we weren't necessarily bombarded by the lowest common denominator of the human experience called the news, which is what I call the olds. And we ended that with pictures of individuals taking care of each other, forgiving each other, loving each other, helping each other. What if that was the final thing that scrolled across our screen along with music to help the mind develop a level of coherence? That would shape a lot of perception in a different way.
Oh, well, completely and differently. And that brings us back to square one again, which is, you know, who's in control?
Right.
I mean, you know, the parents say, well, that's terrible programming. I don't want my kids to see that on TV. And I always say, well, okay, good. Shut the TV off.
Right. Put something else on.
Don't let them watch.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, but am I missing something? You're in control. You're in charge.
Here's a book.
Bring a book. Roll around on the floor.
Yeah, someone once said something like, every time someone watches a reality show, a book dies.
A tree shivers in the woods. Well, Albert Einstein said it so concisely, as he said so many things that have sustained us over the years. The pursuit of truth and beauty is a sphere of activity in which we're permitted to remain children all our lives. I mean, babies put everything in their mouth because that's how they discover what the world is about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly people say, don't put dirt in your mouth. And I say, why? There's a lot of beneficial microbes
right.
in that dirt. So the question then gets to be, when did you start editing what you're putting in your mouth and why?
Mm-hmm.
When have you ever edited what's coming out of your mouth?
Right. That's what the teacher said. It's not what goes in the body that defiles. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles as well.
Exactly.
People need to monitor their conversation.
Exactly. So my conversations with people are all about, okay, are you aware of what you're doing? I mean, you know, you come to me, I can talk to you about liposomal vitamin C, which gets in better than other ones. We can talk about detoxification. We can talk about hormone balancing. We can talk about reversing cancer without terrible drugs. We can talk about all kinds of stuff, but why don't we start at the beginning and find out what you're aware of that you are doing in your life to either make stuff go sideways or help it get back on track. Let's talk about how we get to course corrections, and that has to do, once again, with your attitude, your mindset, your willingness to be open-minded and teachable, your willingness to be in the present tense. Is this sounding familiar?
Yeah, you're speaking about how doctors used to be before insurance companies took over, where a doctor would actually sit with an individual and listen to what was going on with them mentally and emotionally before they even got into, take this pharmaceutical pill or let me cut something out of you. They would actually be with the person for a while.
You mean before it turned into a big business?
Before it became business first, profit first, people second, or sometimes people third or fourth. It was actually the practicing of medicine, which is the practicing of real healing. And now you're talking about an industry that's practicing being a drug distributor for a pharmaceutical company.
Correct.
Pretty much.
Correct.
So you're talking about real medicine, Bill.
Real art of healing. It's an introspective piece. It's a self-aware element that people really must participate in. That's what functional medicine is. People say, oh, functional medicine. Yeah, I went to see a functional medicine doc. What that means is it's a team between the doctor and the client. I don't like to call people patients, you know, because it's just someone that wants to make a change in their life. And really, that's the main event. What kind of stories are you telling yourself over and over and again? Where do those stories come from? Can we investigate that for a minute and make a change?
Well, the couple of minutes we have left, I know your website is advancedbiocell.com. Tell us, what is BioCell? You know, if a person comes to your place, what are some of the modalities? What do you have there? Tell us about BioCell.
Advanced BioCell is really a wellness resource. I have a privilege of working with a network of some of the finest natural medicine doctors in this country and globally, medical doctors, naturopaths, chiropractors, acupuncturists, energy and frequency healers. And again, as much as it's a wholly comprehensive resource, it really begins with what does someone need or want. We begin with determining someone's ability to produce energy. That's typically called metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out with personal nutrition testing using hair tissue. We have one of the most exciting processes in the world right now that's coming up called the deuterium depletion investigation that also helps correct energy production problems. It's called metabolic dysfunction, and that is what you want to get back on track. We have high-dose ozone treatments to clean the blood so the blood can do what the blood's supposed to do, which is take out the toxins and take the nutrients all around the organs and cells and glands and bones.
That's your 10-pass protocol, right?
Correct. High-dose ozone is the 10-pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a really very fascinating hormone balancing protocol through a wonderful company that actually helps people, because blood measurements of hormones is wholly inaccurate in many, many ways. And this is another approach to it. We have cancer reversing counseling and tremendous results. 70% reversal of late stage cancers with the steps that we take with the different protocols and clinics that we can refer people to. And at the high end, our dear Dr. Tom Loeb has tremendous results with stem cell treatments in his anti-aging and wellness clinic in Chicago.
Yeah, so if someone comes to see you, then you have your pulse on a network of individuals that you trust and love that can assist somebody in navigating themselves back from dis-ease to ease to health.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And again, it's what somebody wants to do that then leads us to help them get there.
Absolutely. So advancedbiocell.com is how people can find you?
Yes, sir. Advanced with a D, ADVANCEDBIOCELL.com.
Very good. We've been speaking with actually a good friend, Brother Bill. I get to see him and his wife at Agape on a regular basis, and it's a beautiful thing. This is Bill Quaitman, everyone, and Advanced Bio Cell is how you can find him, .com. And Bill, thank you so much for being with me today.
Reverend Michael, it has been my deepest pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to segue into this sound of R&B, Rhythm and Bliss, or R&J, Rhythm and Joy. Listen to this.
The higher you build your barriers, the taller I become. The further you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me. You can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone, oh no. Something inside so strong. Oh, something inside so strong. The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing. You hide behind walls of Jericho. Our lives will come so bright it will blind you, because there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone, oh no. Something inside so strong.
Good enough.
That's Sister Lyra, L-I-R-A, South African artist I had the opportunity to meet when I was teaching in South Africa. That's from a CD entitled Rise Again, Something Inside So Strong, Lyra. So we're back to the second half of Wake Up, the Sound of Transformation, and we're dealing with health. We're dealing with holistic health and well-being, and I have Peter Krohn with me. He's a mind architect and wellness pioneer who has devoted his life to sharing insights and strategies to create an inspired life and to find true freedom by awakening new levels of awareness. He helps to redesign the subconscious mind to drive behavior and performance and uses the wisdom of Ayurveda to help people find balance through diet and lifestyle. He says that we exist within mental constructs that dictate our thoughts, feelings, actions, and psychological problems and suffering are byproducts of these mental constraints. To create an extraordinary life, we have to reveal the limiting framework of our perceived reality as well as create new context for an expanded existence. Peter provides one-on-one coaching, digital programs, and workshops, and has worked with entertainers, professional athletes, global businesses such as FedEx, Banyan Botanicals, Arizona Diamondbacks baseball team. His work has been featured on golf.com and in Esquire and Elle magazines, among others. He was a featured teacher in the award-winning documentary of Heal alongside Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Anita Morjani, Greg Braden, myself, and many others. In that movie, Healed, it takes the viewers on a scientific and spiritual journey where we discover how our thoughts, beliefs, and emotions have a huge impact on our health and an ability to heal. It was the number one best-selling documentary on iTunes. And his work and everything he does, he's committed to sharing his perspective that inspires the realization of a new way of living from a life of limitation and stress to one of freedom and joy. Greetings, Peter. I'm glad you're with me this morning.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Everything is lovely. It's good to hear your voice. It's always so so strong and powerful, and it's good to be with you in this way this morning. And let's just get started. I want people to get an understanding about, first of all, you and your personal journey. How did you end up doing the fabulous work that you're doing on the planet right now? I mean, what happened?
I think, like most, the greatest catalyst was suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of my own adversity that life very fortuitously put me in front of, such that I could transcend and realize my true nature. So the details of that were, at a very young age, my mother passed when I was 7. I was an only child, and then my dad passed when I was 17, went to work one day, never came back.
Mm.
And so that really revealed what I assert is sort of one of the worst experiences of a human, which is the experience of isolation or separation.
Right. But
I had it as a visceral experience, right? But then it revealed for me the construct of the ego, which is looking through the lens of separation. So that was probably the biggest introduction for me to start to discover the deeper realms of who we are beyond our sort of superficial fears and concerns and limitations. And then courtesy of some lovely girlfriends who reinforced the pattern of loss for a minute by leaving me until I realized.
Abandonment,
that
okay.
Yeah, abandonment and loss, exactly. It's a very common human story. So they were the biggest catalyst, I would say. And then just like yourself, you know, a lot of study and predominantly the Eastern philosophies of healing and self-realization and awakening.
And here we are today.
Indeed. A perpetual student, always learning, as much as I love to do whatever I can to inspire people to see beyond the veil of their insecurities and inadequacies. I still continue to myself delve deeper into what it means to truly be free, to truly be loved, to truly be at peace.
Mm-hmm. Describe that. I mean, what is it for you right now? What does it mean to be truly free? Share your perspective on that.
To truly be free, I use an expression for myself as a question, which is, can I be with this?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means that whatever is arising between circumstances or people that come into my life, to what degree can I be with the circumstance without having any kind of reaction, upset, or fear? Now, not that any of those are wrong, but the degree to which I can be fully present with and in no way lose my sense of peace, to me, that is freedom. You know, it's often misconstrued as sort of disconnection or somehow disengaging from life. And actually, it's quite the contrary. It's actually being fully intimate with life, being
right,
fully related to life. But I'm no longer perceiving life as something to be fearful of.
Right. So it's not detachment. from life at all. It's a non-attachment, but not a detachment. It's like a non-attachment to an outcome, but a full participation with life. So you're responding from somewhere deep in within yourself.
Yeah, to me, it's the quintessential definition of full acceptance.
Right.
You know, that life is the way it is. People are the way they are. Everyone's doing the best they can. And for me to in any way react to that as though it should be different, or I personally from a subjective level would want it to be different, that to me is the antithesis of freedom. That is manipulation, domination, control, all based on fear. None of which is wrong. Again, everyone's doing the best they can. But to answer your question about what does that mean to be free, that's what it means to me.
Right. Now, you also, which I appreciate, speak to the understanding of the power of language. Riff on that for a moment.
Well, being sort of poetic, I say words are the wardrobe for the soul, meaning depending on how we construct ourselves in language, then we will show up in a way that dictates our thoughts, feelings, actions, and then consequently results. So if at the deep fundamental level, the way I have created my persona isn't based in some insecurity or an inadequacy, you know, one that's very common for everybody to at times dip into, is that somehow we're not enough. And so if I live within the language construct of I'm not enough, then it's an inextricable extension that I will be trying at some level to compensate for that, or I will buy straight into it. You know, so somebody who becomes derelict or a drug addict and perhaps sadly ends up on the street, they may have bought into the language of inadequacy. Conversely, what most people do, certainly here in LA, is they try to disprove or compensate for inadequacy. And that's the perfectionism or the looking good that people do. Either way, they're being driven by the language. So, you know, my work is helping to reprogram that language so that who I am is in harmony with what I assert is our true nature, which isn't founded in inadequacy at all.
So when you're assisting somebody either in performance or just in being free, just in living life, you have an individual like become conscious of what they're saying and the words that are coming out of their mouth. You help reframe that. How do you go in and work with an individual like that?
So both. So they become much more aware of the way they speak. But secondly, there's blind spots, right? So that's where I will be able to reverse engineer. Somebody comes to me, whether it's a pro athlete, you know, a stay-at-home mom, a high-end executive, a VIP entertainer, or, you know, just a 13-year-old kid who's dealing with going through puberty. It doesn't really matter who it is. Whatever somebody believes their problem to be, to me, is just the access to what is the deeper construct of language that they're stuck within that they may not be aware of, right? So once I bring awareness to that, and usually those constructs get formed in those very early childhood years.
Right.
And so that's where it's become a blind spot. So if somebody's coming to me with a relationship problem, what that may reveal at a deeper level is that they created a belief that who they were was unlovable.
Right.
And they have evidence from their childhood. Now, if they live within that construct in language, then they're always going to be trying to disprove that, which, you know, at a very deep level is actually constantly proving it, right?
Right. So, you're resisting it, so you're actually amplifying it.
Yes. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, so it's the combination of the two. Reveal the construct that people are oblivious to, and then simultaneously start to become truly aware of and responsible for the way in which people speak, because our words are creating our reality.
Now, obviously, a lot of this is on a subconscious level. So you deal a lot with the power of the subconscious mind as well, particularly as it relates to health and healing and high performance.
And I would have said those constructs, like I'm saying, what I'm pointing to, blind spots or things we're oblivious to, that to me is the subconscious. It's that which we can't see. It's the 99% of the iceberg that is beneath the water. And for me, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the human being that we witness in terms of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are the byproduct of the subconscious. So until we actually address the byproduct, people work all day with all the best intentions in the world to lose weight, to, you know, garner more money, to whatever it is that they're looking for in life. But if they're unaware of what's actually driving the show at the deepest level, then they go to bed exhausted and usually unfulfilled with a sense of failure, which, you know, is suffering.
Right.
And so to be able to undo that and bring relief and liberation and freedom and consequently a much more fulfilling life, because you're no longer fighting these deep-seated beliefs of insecurity, inadequacy, or scarcity, that to me is the gift that I just feel very blessed about to give to people.
And this is all under the context of spiritual awakening.
It's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's raising consciousness. It's really the birth of the realization of one's true nature versus being identified with limitation as our humanity, all of which is fine. It's not wrong. You know, I embrace my humanity, but at the same time, if we are to evolve and to raise our consciousness and have this sort of spiritual awakening, then it is to transcend that limitation and realign with our true nature, much of which, of course, you speak about every day.
Beautiful, yeah, but I want people to hear you. Because everybody comes at it a little bit differently and has a different, not a different, necessarily different perspective, but through our own life experience, as you know, there's ways that we share, and I love the way you bring it. Now,
Thank you.
You use the wisdom of Ayurveda in your work as well. Share the listeners with what that really is and how it leads us from a disease to vitality.
It's such a beautiful science. I was studying to become a yoga teacher some almost 20 years ago now, more out of interest in the philosophy of yoga than actually because I wanted to teach classes. But as part of that, the instructor brought in an Ayurvedic practitioner, and she just spoke to the group for a couple of hours, and I sat there, and I was like, finally, someone knows what the hell they're talking about, because I'd been, you know, on the other end of perfectionism, trying to find these perfect diets, and whether it's the Atkins or the South Beach or, you know, the balance, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, this science, which is steeped in 5,000 years of tradition, and it's sort of the sister arm of yoga. So it's part of the Indian scriptures. It's all under the auspices of Hinduism, even though it's, quote unquote, not a religion, it's a lifestyle.
Right.
So once I heard that, it was just no turning back. So I studied that immediately, became a counselor, did another 2-3 years, did an internship in India, and became a practitioner. And the parallels, even though it's focused predominantly on diet and lifestyle, meaning we will look at someone's constitution in their body, whether they're more air or fire or earth, and then give some guidelines in terms of food and lifestyle accordingly. But nonetheless, the principles, the fundamental tenets of the science are so beautifully paralleled with what I'm doing with people's minds. So that's where, for me, it's just such a wonderful complement to what I'm doing, you know, on a mental level.
Absolutely. If you guys are just tuning in to Wake Up, The Sound of Transformation, I'm with Peter Krohn, a mind architect, wellness pioneer, devoted his entire life to sharing insights and strategies to help create and inspire life and to find true freedom by awakening to new levels of awareness. His bio is exhaustive. He has tremendous experience in this type of work, health, healing, performance, the wisdom of Ayurveda. So I'm speaking with Peter Krohn, if you're just tuning in to the program. Now, you just mentioned something about the mind. And so obviously you really speak about the fact that the health of the mind is paramount to health and wellness.
The mind, to me, is sort of the driving force for everything. You know, like, it's what creates our perspective. Perspective is reality, right? And so what gives rise to that perspective, which then generates our experience of life, to me, is what we're calling the mind, or the lens through which we see life,
right,
the way that we respond to things. Yeah.
I often say that, you know, our mind has been hijacked. We have to, like, take our mind back, because it's been programmed in so many different ways. And as you talked about, subconsciously, things are just being played out without our permission or unconsciously. So we're actually taking it back in a very powerful way.
Absolutely. And these are these, you know, very deep installed, you know, from childhood and even in our DNA, these mechanisms of survival that as human beings we're entrenched to function from, you know, and that's where there's no judgment when people are doing the best they can. But nonetheless, it becomes unnecessary.
Right.
And so it is the awakening of these patterns that have been there for generations that is the access to freedom, to see, wow, I've been living in a world of fight or flight for as long as I've been born. And all of that was inherited because of my ancestors who literally were in a position of fight or flight. But those principles of survival no longer apply to my day-to-day existence.
Absolutely. Now, I was listening to a podcast you were on, and in the conversation, you were sharing the 6 stages of disease and how to avoid them through emotional hygiene. Can you speak to us about that?
Sure. That's one of my favorite parts of the science of Ayurveda, is that the protocol is called Samprapti, and Samprapti speaks to these 6 stages. And it's so beautiful because it's like much of the science, it just makes sense. So the first stage is accumulation, where we accumulate too much of, in this case, what's called a dosha, D-O-S-H-A. So if we get too much heat in our system, too much air, too much earth or water, and what happens then is it leads to becoming an aggravation in our body, which is the second stage. So in case of heat, you know, many humans have experienced heartburn, acid reflux. We don't think much of it because nowadays, you know, there's just a pill for that, right?
Right.
But however, from the point of view of Ayurveda, that is an imbalance. Your body is telling you that something is imbalanced and it's an aggravation. So there's too much, which was stage one accumulation that's led to the aggravation. Stage three is then that excess starts to spread through the system. So in this case, the heat would get into the blood and it would be circulated around the body. That leads to stage four, which is localization. So the excess imbalance in the body will find a weak spot in our system somewhere. So if it was an athlete who had hurt their knee when they were younger in high school and there's loss of integrity in that area of their body, the excess finds comfort and finds a home wherever there's a loss of integrity in the body. And so that may then stage five show up as a little bit of arthritic pain, arthritis. Mm. And then finally stage six is it's diversification. So whatever that disease is now actually becomes integrated such that it's actually altering the tissue structure. And that's irreversible usually. So it's just a beautiful system. So the whole why I find understanding that so profound is if we realize step one, just step one of the whole disease protocol is accumulation, well then why is, you know, decluttering and cleansing so paramount?
Right.
Because you're preventing that.
Right.
So that to me is why the whole system is just so intuitively beautiful, because if I know that if I keep myself clean, so to speak, on all levels, then I'm also mitigating the whole disease process.
Right. Now, do you have a protocol that you put people through to cleanse? Or once a person has cleansed, do you have a protocol as a way of life, how people should, I don't like to use the word should, but, you know, encouraging people to live a certain way to stay clean?
I do, and it's very thorough. You know, when I'm working with people, we'll look at every arena of their life. And actually, the book that it's my first book that I'm writing and just finishing right now, takes people through these different arenas of life and how we can, within each level of what it means to be human, you know, the subtlest sort of being the spiritual to the perhaps the densest being our material existence, you know, our closets, our garages, where there's a lot of accumulation for most people.
So, actually, the physical closet, the physical garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked at mine the other day and I said, oh my God, I got to get rid of some stuff. So I'm trying to create on the calendar, I can go in and just get rid of all of these extra shirts I don't wear anymore that are just accumulating energy in my house. I got to get rid of it. So I definitely understand what you're saying at that level.
So that's why the system's beautiful, right? Because here you are, somebody who practices a beautiful lifestyle. You're obviously an inspiration to many people, and yet you still fall prey to the human patterns of accumulation, which at some level, there will be an aggravation. Maybe you can't put the car in the garage, or maybe you can't find stuff in the closet, you know, which points to the excess now becoming a source of aggravation. Maybe mild, and we learn to deal with it. But nonetheless, yes, decluttering on every level, you know, from the subtlest to the heaviest, the physical, is nonetheless the access to liberation and freedom. And that creates space and a sense of opportunity. So I do take people through all of the different areas of life, so that there is that real sense of liberation on every level.
Absolutely. I love it. So do you adhere to the philosophy that one day a week we should eat less or fast or just clean up the body temple that way? Is it you have something along those lines?
Yeah, I love that. I love the intermittent fasting now. That's obviously become a little bit more commonplace. For myself personally, yes, I try to take one day where there may be a minimal fast. My constitution is more what's called pitta, P-I-T-T-A, which is fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend to have a very high metabolism. And so oftentimes not eating can actually create an imbalance because the body is looking to burn.
Right.
So I will not completely fast, but I'll tend to just do juices all day.
I got
so it's a form of a cleanse. I'm taking the pressure and the stress off of the digestive system. For somebody else who's maybe more kapha, K-A-P-H-A, which is more earth and water, they're like the Oprahs of the world who, you know, they've got the beautiful skin, they're thicker joints, and they're more sturdy, they've got greater stamina. Mm-hmm. For them to fast, they've got more resources, so it makes a lot of sense. So I do. I really love that. I think it's important to have as part of our sadhana or our practice, you know, as human beings, to have these things in place, whether it's once a week or maybe once a month, we revisit the closet, or certainly each season. I think that helps because it's just human nature to gather a bunch of crap. Excuse my friend.
It is true. We want to hold on to stuff we don't need. And I believe in the law of circulation. You know, let it flow, let it circulate.
Yeah.
What you don't use, somebody's going to really love that, you know.
And the psychology behind that, too, is huge, right? Because if there's a holding energetically, and let's face it, everybody does that, myself included, I've been guilty over the years, where we feel the need to, that one day I might need this.
Right.
That energy is actually coming from a place of scarcity.
Absolutely.
Right. And so to your point about being able to let go is itself an expression of trust.
Right.
Right. That I, in letting go of something that I have over the years become attached to, and therefore I'm stuck at some level. If I can relinquish that attachment, then I'm encouraging the space of new to show up, which is also reinforcing confidence and, as I said, trust, which, you know, just as a psychological exercise is very powerful for people.
Absolutely. Whereas we're coming close to the end of our moment together, let people know how they can be in contact with you, your website. Is there any final word that you feel that you'd like to say to the audience today?
Well, firstly, thank you to you for having me on. I'm a big fan of yours and I've enjoyed every time we've got together, you know, through working together on Heal.
Yes.
So thanks for having me on the show. My word for people is always love. You know, I believe it's our nature, and like the sun shines unconditionally, I feel I love unconditionally. So I want to bring that to everyone in your audience. And with regards to finding me, pretty straightforward. It's my name. So it's Peter Crone, PeterCrone.com. And I recently joined the dizzy heights of social media. And I only have Instagram, but it's Peter Crone Official. I'm always humbled to be a voice for anybody and hopefully a source of inspiration to help people see new possibilities.
Outstanding. Well, I absolutely appreciate you coming on and giving us of your time. Time is so very important. So thank you for sharing your time and the wisdom for this wonderful group of people that listen all around the world. Thank you so much, Peter.
Beautiful. Clean out your closets and garages.
It's on my calendar right now.
Well, it's so beautiful to be with you. Much love to you and your audience.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So we've been with Peter Crone today. PeterCrone.com. We've been with Bill Quaitman today, AdvancedBioCell.com. Two beautiful brothers who are really have at on a heart level a desire for people to be free, awakened, and healthy. Because you know what? We have gifts within us that must be given. We have come with the mandate to share our gifts, our talents, our capacities, and we want to be free and healthy in order to do so. So thank you guys for tuning in today. If you want to know what's happening at Agape, go to agapelive.com and see all the latest wonderful things that are occurring. People are signing up for my New Year's retreat. It's going to go from December 29th, which is a Saturday, through Tuesday, January 1st. It's almost sold out, but you can still register online. There's a few seats left. And of course, you can see me every Sunday at the Saban Theater, 8440 Wilshire Boulevard in Beverly Hills. 7 a.m., the Way of Meditation service. 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. are the later two services, preceded by a meditation service as well. If you're not in Los Angeles, you can live stream at agapelive.com. Everyone, we're holding all of our brothers and sisters in prayer and also raising funds for individuals who have been affected by these fires. So let's continue to open up our heart of compassion and do what we're called to do, whatever it is that we can't do to alleviate suffering on the planet. Have a bright and powerful day. Look forward to seeing you at Agape on Sunday.
Hi, I'm Chris Hedges. Please join me on my show, On Contact, where we interview writers, dissidents, and activists who have been largely blacklisted by the corporate media. It airs Sundays at 12:30 p.m. on KPFK.
Hello, I'm Pamela Anjang, host of Impact on KPFK, where immigrants and Americans discuss America today. We bring you exciting hot topics that will get you talking, profiles of amazing immigrants who impact America, great music and entertainment from around the world. Right, music master Charles?
I say only the best of world music features on this show.
Please join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. for an exciting hour discovering the unheard voices of great immigrants. You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, and streaming around the world at kpfk.org.
Thanks to the one who gave us the money.